transmitting sound. Download complete. Now launching audio stream. The Kelly Alexander Show.
The team and I are thrilled to announce that this is our 100th edition of The Kelly Alexander Show. It has been an amazing ride to get to this milestone. And off the top, I want to share a few thoughts on the importance of following your dreams and working hard for them to come true. I'm also very excited for you to meet our guest of honor. He has sold millions of albums around the world and continues to make the ladies scream as part of a group as well as being a solo artist. Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys is ready to talk, and we have all his answers.
Capture your need for sound.
I'm very excited to welcome you to the 100th edition of The Kelly Alexander Show. And we knew that we needed to get a very special guest to honor this milestone. So I am thrilled to tell you that our guest for today is going to be the one and only Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys. He has helped sell millions of albums around the world, and he is going to join us in just a few moments. But before we speak to Nick, I actually just wanted to take a moment to basically commemorate where we are with this 100th edition of The Kelly Alexander Show. I want to take a moment to thank a few of the people that have helped me and the rest of the team get to where we are. But before I do that, I actually just wanted to take a moment to sort of look back, you know, because 100 shows is a lot. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot. And actually, the idea for the show happened almost 3 years ago, back in January of 2009. Now, we only launched the show on October 19th, 2009, but I wanted to sort of mention that, you know, with that, those two dates, you can see that there was a lot of months in between from idea to fruition, if you want to call it that. And, you know, when I look back, it's a lot of blood, sweat, tears, dedication, joy, happiness, sadness, all that sort of stuff that went into launching this project. And one of the things that I wanted to sort of bring to your attention when I look back is that, you know, this was a dream of mine to have my own online show. And I was fortunate to be able to surround myself with some awesome people to help me get it, you know, off the ground. But something that is I think, universal to all of us with this show is that, you know, it was a dream of mine. And I'm sure that you have a dream. There's a dream or an objective that you have in your life. And, you know, it's often easy to just sort of set it aside, especially in the busyness of our lives. We've got, you know, rent to pay or mortgages to pay and, you know, family members to deal with, especially if you're a mom or a dad. You know, there's a lot going on. And so it's easy to put your dreams to the side and say, you know what, I have these responsibilities and I don't have time to make my dreams come true. But I kind of want to tell you that you can make your dreams come true. And it just really takes, you know, commitment and belief in what you're doing. And I really believed that this online show, The Kelly Alexander Show, could be something great and fun and interesting and could hopefully be inspirational and educational to people who would choose to listen. And that's what we strive to do here on the show each and every week, is to be interesting and to make sure that we're bringing some sort of value to our listeners' lives. And so, you know, that was my dream, and it's happening and it's continuing to move forward. And I feel like the show is only getting better and better as the weeks go by, because I'm learning so much and I'm really trying every week to get better and better as the host of this show. And so I just kind of wanted to point out to you that, you know, if you have a dream, no matter what it is, you can really make it happen. You just kind of have to have a focus and a belief, and then this dedication to get through the challenges. And there was a lot of challenges in those initial months just trying to get the show actually, you know, up on online. I know it maybe sounds like it's not such a big deal, but there were some hurdles that we had to go through, some bumps and bruises along the way, but we've managed to make that happen. And as I look back, it's actually one of the proudest things in my life that I've done, is to have this show. I've been fortunate to be able to work in radio. I've been fortunate to be able to participate in the world of martial arts. You know, you and I have discussed before that I'm a black belt, and that's been such a huge part of my life. And I'm very proud of my life in martial arts. And this kind of ranks right up there, because I feel like the dedication that I had to put towards getting my black belt is a similar sort of mindset that I had to sort of embody again to make this show happen and to keep it going. Because there's certain weeks where, you know, you're lacking inspiration, or you're lacking You know, you might just be tired and you're like, you know, you got to put this show together. But every week, I know that there's people that are taking time out of their schedules to listen. And I appreciate that so much, that you would take the time to listen to what we have to offer, that I always want to make sure that the show is, you know, running on high octane power and is as interesting as we can make it. So I want to thank you for taking the time to listen. And I want to, you know, encourage you, if you have dreams, no matter what they are, you know, have a plan, focus, and just put that determination into place, and you can do just what we have done here on the show. And as we try to continue to get better and better as the years go by, I just want to take a moment to thank certain people who have helped me along the way. I know you've heard me mention his name before, Esteban Vargas. He's my partner in crime. He's been with me since the beginning, and he's our technical producer. He's also our web guru as well, and I just love him so much. So Esteban, thank you so much. I also want to thank Solmaz McDaddy. You know her as our smart shopping expert, but she actually helped launch the show as well 2.5 years ago, and she's moved on to other projects, but as you know, she joins us on the show, and she's a great girl, and I just love her so much and love all the help that she's been able to give us as the show has progressed. I also want to thank Nat Lozon. She's the voice of our show. When you hear the big booming voice come on, that is Nat Lozon, a great friend of mine. Thank you so much, Nat. I want to thank Ian Campbell. He does all the music for us on the show, the original music. I also want to thank my previous marketing director, Dave Jones. He did a great job. My current marketing director, Mario Butino. I also want to thank Toby Goodfellow for all of his insight into the public relations part of our show, not to mention Julia, who helped out with our web stuff, Rob Braid, who's been a big mentor to me, and just always has great ideas and always makes me sort of feel calm and confident that the show can keep going and keep getting better and better. I also want to thank Scott Brooks, who also did our logo, and we love that logo, and we try to live behind what it represents. So thank you, Scott, for that. And again, I just want to take a moment to thank all of our parents, all of our families, friends, and colleagues who have been so supportive of the show and have helped sort of push us forward and keep going even when the road got tough, as it were. And again, I just want to take a moment and thank all of you for listening, for taking time out of your schedules each and every week to support the show. It's just been awesome. I can't even put it another way. It's just been awesome and extraordinary to have the support from you, our listeners, who want us to keep going and keep getting bigger and better. And I also just want to give a shout out to all of my guests, the experts that we have on, that come on repeatedly on the show, not to mention the celebrities and, you know, our fun guests that just come on to talk about awesome segments and things to make us think about different things in the world and not always focus on our problems. So thank you so much for that. And now it gives me great pleasure to introduce you to the one and only Nick Carter, again, of the Backstreet Boys. I'm so happy that he was able to give us some time to talk to him. He's a great inspiration. He's gone through some rough times as well, and he has moved forward, and he is just rocking it out. So I'm very excited for you to hear what Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys has to say. And again, thank you for always being supportive of the Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
It's an honor and a thrill to welcome my next guest to the show. He's not only a member of the multi-million album-selling group, the Backstreet Boys, but he's also an accomplished solo artist as well, with his latest CD, I'm Taking Off, making his fans go crazy all over the world. Nick Carter, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate your time. And I have to ask you, Nick, if we look back on when you were a kid, did you actually dream of being famous and having this amazing recording career as both part of the Backstreet Boys, not to mention being a solo artist?
Yeah, it's funny. I remember when I was really young, before I even got in the Backstreet Boys, I would perform out in the backyard. My dad had cut this tree stump, and you know, he had to cut a tree down, and there was a tree stump standing there still, and I would jump on top of it by myself, and I would sing, and I would pretend that the grass was audience members. And you know, later on in life, come to find out, you know, I was performing in front of as many people as there was grass in my backyard. So it was kind of funny.
That's awesome. And if you take you know, a minute or a moment to look back on what you've accomplished so far in your life and your career, how does it feel? Is it kind of surreal for you, or can you actually appreciate what your hard work has brought you?
It's astonishing to me to think that so much has been, so much has happened in so, little of time. I mean, when you think that, it could be long, you know, 20 years in the Backstreet Boys pretty much, but you know, I'm only 31 years old. So it's like, for me, it's a little time, you know what I mean? It's like so much has occurred. You know, I have so much, seven, eight albums, nine, probably including solo records, you know what I mean? Out, you look at the discography on my website on nickhart.net or backstreetboys.com, and sometimes I'll just rummage through it, and I'll see these things, and I'll just be just like, wow, you know what I mean? That I used to look at groups that I used to love and say, wow, I'd love to have as many albums as this like journey has, and we do. And so we've really accomplished a lot, but still in my mind, not enough, which is kind of interesting.
That sort of makes you want to push forward and do more, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's what definitely makes me want to do more. And I think that the minute that I stop wanting or feel satisfied is I shouldn't do this anymore, you know?
And, for those of us who sort of watched you and the guys go through the intense craziness, of your fame back in the late 90s and early 2000, what was it like to be part of that juggernaut? Like, were you guys kept in a safe bubble, or did you really feel, how much of a phenomenon you guys had become?
I mean, we were in a bubble for real. That was a definite. But and I think that just comes along with, you have bodyguards, you have people with you all the time, and you're protected. You're in sort of this machine, you know what I mean? That people around you want to keep going, but then that you peek your head out of it and you try to go out and live like a normal life, and then you kind of get in trouble because you're not used to the things that that normal people do. So it could be sort of a catch 22. It could be good and bad at the same time. But now after a certain amount of years, I've sort of learned to through experience and through mistakes and stuff, what to avoid and how to handle it basically.
And was there ever a time, during those particularly crazy years where, you felt lost? Like all these people, your fans and other people, media people, they think they know you because they see you on stage and on television, but they don't really know who the real Nick Carter is.
Yeah, you can feel lost, and you can also you're always searching, trying to discover who you are and find yourself, and that tends to be the yeah, you're right. People don't necessarily know who you are behind the scenes, but then at the same time, I kind of was the kind of person who, and still am, who wears my heart on the sleeve. So it's like what you see is what you get. I'm not one of those fake artists who can put on a facade or a mask and go on stage and act, you know what I mean? It's kind of, I am who I am in a sense, and I think that's why people can relate to me.
Joining us on the show is Nick Carter, successful solo recording artist and member of the much-loved Backstreet Boys. Make sure to check him out, nickcarter.net, as well as on Twitter, @NickCarter. Nick, are there any particular times that sort of stick out in your head when you and the guys were kind of riding through that intense crazy that makes you smile? Like, was there a particular concert or award show that you've done, or maybe just even hanging out with the guys kind of away from the storm? Are there things that really make you smile when you look back?
Oh yeah, there's you everything makes me smile. I'm kind of I'm the kind of guy who pulls the positive from the past. I'm always was able to really change my thought process and really take the good out of what has happened in my life and sort of let go of a lot of negative, and that's really helped me move forward and helped me become a better person and a person who is able to overcome adversities, and that's sort of what who I am now, and I think why I'm able, because there's a lot of artists and a lot of people who I think who are just satisfied where they're at, and I'm not, and I think that that's one of my keys to my continued drive, I would say.
You've been very forthcoming about your earlier struggles with the alcohol and the drugs. How did coming through that situation change you? And what would you say to other young artists or actors who might, get swept up in the party scene or just the pressures of being famous? Because everyone fails to, I think, remember that there was so much pressure on you guys.
There's a lot of pressure, and you got to understand too, as we were talking about before, a lot of people, a lot of artists want they look for an escape, and one of the things that they fall into, which is the easiest, after you're done performing or after you're traveling on an airplane, 20 something hours to Japan or wherever it is in the world, and you don't have a lot of time, and so you get bored, and then you turn to the things that what society likes to call the adult thing to do, which is, you know, drinking and partying. And, you know, after a while, you just got to understand that it'll catch up with you. And especially if you do it irresponsibly. So, you know, that's sort of where I've been, you know, and, you know, I was there and I got through that as well. But at the same time, you know, it's just it's just a thing you got to learn yourself. For other artists, I can't really, you know, a smart person will take a look at what people have gone through and learn from it, you know, and try to not repeat their mistakes.
And does it matter, Nick, if you have a really strong support system around you? Like, for example, if we just look at Justin Bieber, like, do you feel like he might make it through kind of unscathed? I mean, I obviously know he's already had lots of media pressure as well and all these crazy ladies coming out of the woodwork. But if he has a strong support team, do you think he could actually sort of make it into his 20s without going through the struggles that maybe you and AJ went through?
You know, I think that's the thing that colors people, you know, and makes them, you know, very... layered, you know, gives layers to people, you know, if you can overcome it and get through it, you know, I don't know what his outcome would be, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, it makes people interesting and, you know, that's entertainment, you know, you got your eyes on these people 24/7, you know, and if they weren't in singing on stage or doing what they're doing, you know, would they be going through the same stuff, you know, while they're going to college or going to their job, you know, and would people really care, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, just because people are in the spotlight and they hold a certain amount of responsibility, or even people just create this image in their mind of what they think that these people are, you know, so it becomes, you know, difficult. But I think that, you know, answering the question, it's determined, you know, it's all about, I'm the kind of person, I'm optimistic. I'm the kind of person who says, you know, it's all about how you come out at the other end.
Now, I know that you have said that working out and being in shape kind of helped turn you around. How did, you know, taking that step and sort of taking care of your physical being kind of turn you around? And how often now do you sort of hit the gym and work out? And is it like a stress buster for you?
It's definitely a stress buster. You know, one of the things is, you know, it's a constant struggle. You know, you got to continuously and constantly learn new things, challenge your body and find ways to just challenge yourself, not just challenge, but just entertain yourself, because it can get boring after a while. When you start seeing results, you know, and it really starts to, you know, eating is 50 to 60% of everything that you do as far as working out goes, and cardio and is another part of it, and finding, now for me, weightlifting routines are important, you know, because I'm mixing them up. So it's really complex, but you can go online, you can Google, you can go to like bodybuilding.com and you know, which I got, you know, a membership there, and you know, you can learn yourself, you know. The great thing about this time and era that we live in this age is that it's out there for everyone to learn.
And when you're on tour, whether it's you with yourself or with the guys, do you try to make sure that you're making time every day to work out, or at least, you know, several times a week? Because I know that you're in different time zones, but I'm wondering if the working out kind of helps keep you healthy.
It does. No, there's no doubt about it. You know, there's biological and scientific fact that goes into it. You know, when you go to the gym, you boost your immune system up, you know, by doing cardio, by doing exercises. And you also, you know, psychologically, you release serotonin when you're in the gym, you know, or when you're doing any sort of activities, you know. There's so much that I know about it, and, you know, so much I don't know. But, you know, it really does, you know, with the serotonin, if you don't understand, know about it, you know, that makes you happy. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's so much that goes into it. And it's a really interesting thing, the human body.
With us on the show is Nick Carter, recording artist, as well as member of the Backstreet Boys, nickcarter.net. Make sure to check him out, as well as on Twitter, at Nick Carter. Nick, you know, a few years ago, you did the reality show with your siblings, House of Carters. In the end, was that like a positive experience for you and you and the family? And would you ever do another reality show?
You know, the reality shows are something that I'm not really, I don't know. It's not something that I'm really privy to. It was an experience. It was something that I learned. It was something I tried. You think about it, depending on and with that show, I didn't really have a lot of creative control, which I think also gave me a bad taste in my mouth, you know, because I was, you know, I thought that it was going to be a way, a certain way, and it turned out not to be, and you know, that was my fault, and you know, but I was able to kind of, like I said, take the positive from it and look at it and say, you know, well, I'm really don't like the person that I am, you know, I don't enjoy that person. I think that I can be better, you know, and it really gave me an opportunity to look at and evaluate and analyze myself.
And does it give you, strength, I guess, in the fact that you like I know a lot of celebrities don't have siblings in the industry. So, you do with your younger brother Aaron. Is it like a support system for the two of you to have each other because you've gone through it? And I know you went through it first, but like just to know that you can actually bounce, stuff off another person that's actually a sibling.
With my brother, you know, we've had a great relationship. You know, it's we, you know, we talk frequently now, and we're able to really, I think that he can learn from me, and you know, we can share our experiences, and really, it's interesting, the dynamic, because you know, yes, Aaron is you know, and has been an artist for a while now, and so that's the thing that we can relate to, because in a weird way, you know, I call ourselves not completely different than the other family members, but it's hard to relate in some ways, you know what I mean? So it's good to have someone to sort of share those experiences with and relate with.
And I remember actually watching an episode or when you and Aaron and the rest of the family, the girls, were on with Tyra. It feels like the girls are very supportive of you too. Is it great to have like a family that kind of is supportive, especially because I saw one answer that kind of stuck out to me where I guess a lot of women obviously want to get close to you, and it felt like your sisters are very protective of you.
They were very protective of me, and still are, you know, and I think that it's good in some ways, and sometimes it's bad, you know, so you have to kind of, I mean, we've learned to have and find a balance, and you know, just find a nice way to deal with each other in that sense. But you know, there's nothing wrong with that, and nothing in the past with the way they felt. I mean, they were definitely younger. I was more protective over because, you know, he is the younger one, and you know, it's a doggy dog world out there. You know, you gotta be careful who you associate with, and from our perspective, you know.
Was there ever a doubt in your mind that at some point you would step out from Backstreet Boys and become a solo artist?
The first time that I did it, you know, that was, I think that it was just me messing around and not really taking it seriously. You know, this time around, after it was about 8 or 9 years before I did this album, you know, I really was pondering the idea, but then at the same time was just waiting to see if I was ready, you know, kind of testing myself and learning more. And you know, I just felt that the reason I wasn't as good as I was bef as I could have been before was the lack of knowledge and the lack of experience. And you know, I'm kind of a, I see things a certain way, and I want them to be a certain way when it comes to my music, or when it comes to art direction on the album, you know, the writing on the album, and I really didn't want to hand that over to just any other producer or any other writer, or you know, let a record label. So you know, the label Jive, we were able to, you know, they had let me go, and then I was able to really have control, and so I released it on my own label called Chaotic. And so we pretty much done everything myself, and it gave me full control over it, which was probably everything that I wanted, you know, was everything that I wanted and needed. Because when you have an A&R person sort of telling you what songs you should do and everything, it really, it in my mind, it completely conflicts with what an artist is, you know. And I wasn't trying to say that I'm trying to be an artist, but I really would like to express myself in my own way, and not have it be controlled.
And with the fact that you actually released it on Chaotic and it was your own baby and stuff, do you have any aspirations to help other artists, like to maybe take that step in the future where you're trying to help artists be more creative on their own without having these big companies tell them how to do things?
one thing for me is that, you know, I still feel like I said I'm young and, you know, I'm ready to keep challenging myself as a solo artist and grow. And I think that what that's doing is, you know, it's pretty much just you know, I think it's grooming me for the possibility is what I'm saying. You know, I wouldn't take it away and say I wouldn't do it because, you know, I would, but right now I'm just really focused on myself and I don't like, I hate to be selfish, but I think that's kind of how I am.
Well, that's good though. I think it's good that you know what you want. And I've always wanted to ask you, are writing songs and, you know, playing your instruments, playing guitar, therapeutic for you? Like is it a release as well when you tackle writing your songs?
You know, there's always something that can be pulled from experience in life and things that you've gone through, and I think that definitely comes out in any song that anybody writes. You know, it is therapeutic because you're writing sort of like in a diary, you know, and it's like a public journal, and I think that, you know, that's one of the cool things that you can definitely tap into your personal experiences and put those down, and it really helps you sort of release and get things off your chest. But then now the challenging part for me is being able to create fiction and come up with you know, be even more of a storyteller, because, you know, I write screenplays and movies and come up with stories, so, you know, that's not hard for me. But now I'm gonna really challenge myself in the songwriting category as well.
And do you like to work kind of solo when you're writing songs, or do you like to collaborate?
Right now, I'm trying to become the best that I can be from a solo artist, and so when I do get with when it comes to that time that I go start writing with writers or producers, and, you know, I'm just that much better. So, you know, I enjoy writing with other writers. I think that it's really cool to, you know, a lot of times what they do is three people in a room, and, you know, that's kind of how I wrote Just One Kiss with Dan Mukla, me, Dan Mukla, and another guy. You know, and we all just pretty much kind of, it's kind of like a little therapy session, like we were talking about.
And with your solo work, do you have, you know, a conscious plan about what type of music you're making, or do you just kind of go in and make music that feels right to you as Nick Carter?
I make music obviously for myself, you know, and yeah, I'm in the moment, you know, that I create it, and the things that go into it is just you know, it all comes from a place that, you know, I never know what's going to happen in the studio. You know, I never know what's going to come out. I just go in there with an open mind, and I think that was important, you know, because, like I said, this is what I was getting into later, a long time ago. You know, it was all about just, you know, maybe trying too hard, you know, putting too much thought into it, going, okay, I gotta be this way. It has to be within this box, you know, or I want to be this genre of music. And so that's what I did this time around. I didn't go in with a, because creativity, in a sense, is like painting. You know, it's whatever you want to paint. You know, it's whatever, and you should not be boxed in. And so that's what I did this time around, and I think that's what I'm always gonna do, you know.
And I recently saw your show, your solo show, when you came to my hometown, Montreal. And I wanted to ask you as well, because I really had a great time watching the show. And it was great to see you up on stage with, you know, your other band members. Do you kind of create your stage show with them? Like, do you have a creative director? Like, is it all your idea? Because I was just wondering, it just was funky with like the spaceship kind of thing going on and stuff. Like, how did that come to you?
It's funny because that was a lot of times when, and obviously the cool thing is I wrote the song I'm Taking Off on my solo record, and I love the song because it's kind of got a rock feel to it, and I love rock music. I love all sorts of music, but the song title really lent itself to an idea that, you know, I kind of believe in. Yeah, I'm a weird person in some sense. I believe in UFOs, and I believe in, you know, aliens. I believe in ghosts. I believe in, so I'm kind of science fiction person, stuff like that, you know. And it's like I was able to incorporate I'm Taking Off, you know, with the rocket in the song. And so we created these space costumes and I put my band in the space costumes, and they had these helmets on, and I play guitar, obviously, and we just we kind of the first three, four songs we sort of rocked out a little bit, and it's like we were five moon men arriving, from outer space, you know what I mean? And it was like, and it just the costume that I, the entire theme really came from, space, and we had this cool lighting background. It's like I arrived, and then even the audience, like I played with the audience. I called them my aliens, and I asked them if it was okay if we. I said we finally landed, stuff like that, and it was just we were really playing with the idea, and I think that was what it was all about, was coming up with an entertaining show. Because last time that I had done my solo record, I think I boxed, like I said, I boxed myself in, and I think that I didn't really get an opportunity to showcase, what I really creatively withhold or hold inside.
And something I wanted to ask you as well, again, speaking of that particular concert that I saw here in Montreal, because the job that I have as a radio announcer, I'm fortunate to be able to go to, a bunch of concerts and stuff. And when I saw you perform, it was interesting to watch you because I felt like you were having so much fun with your fans. I felt like there was a real connection. Now, I know it was a bit of a smaller venue than when you do the big stadiums. So there was, I guess, a bit of a more intimate vibe going on. But it just feels like you're having fun. It feels like you are really appreciating your fans, and they obviously love you. How does it feel now, like, 10 or 15 years later? Is it different how you interact with your fans because it's like this solo thing that you've got going on now?
It's definitely a different dynamic, and it really gives me something that, like I said, entertains myself, and makes me feel, because, I love the Backstreet Boys and love what we do, but, we do the same thing, the same songs, pretty much over and over again. And what this is sort of a new thing, it's new music. Yeah, until we do a new Backstreet Boy record. But, this is the last time I toured was 9 years ago, on a solo. So, it kind of, it's just something that I think that gives back to the fans, and it's for them, and fans of me, and fans that aren't fans, I think can maybe respect the fact that of the kind of artist that I am. Yes, I am a part of the group, and I always will be, but this is my part, this is who I am as an individual. And I think, I look at groups such as, I love Tribe Called Quest, and then I absolutely love Q-Tip, and it's funny because, he steps out, and or they haven't done anything with Tribe in a while, but he stepped out and he did some stuff on his own, and he was able to come back, and he still has that love for Tribe. And I was like, wow, like that's the kind of solo artist that I respect, because you're doing it for the reasons, for the love of music, and that's what it's all about. I'm not, my entire solo venture is all about the love of music, and it's all about the respect of music and the creativity, and that's why I continue to do it.
How
How
important is
important is
social
social
media
media
to you as an
to you as an
artist?
artist?
Do you enjoy communicating more directly with your fans?
I love it. Actually, right now I was looking on Twitter, and I was just popped up my Twitter page, and it's cool because you get an opportunity to alert them and tell them things that are going on, such as tours, because I had this tour in the States that I'm putting up right now. So like I would say, hey, listen, go to nickcarter.net, that's cool as well. But then also just rambling, saying whatever, talking about the dumbest crap, you know what I mean? And it's really, it feels like Twitter is the poop of the mind at times, you know what I mean?
That's awesome. Joining us on the show right now, recording artist Nick Carter, again, member of the Backstreet Boys as well. Check him out, nickcarter.net, and on Twitter, @NickCarter. Nick, I would be in very big trouble if I didn't ask you this question. Can you tell us sort of how the whole idea came about for, the Backstreet Boys to join up with the New Kids? Because this is like this crazy, awesome super group that, everyone's just loving.
Yeah, no, the idea was really from both groups and both sides. And we really are able to we mesh very well, and we blend together, and it's just it was just something cool and different. You know, like I said, you these are you have to find ways to really spark interest, you know, after you've been doing this for so long, you know, for yourself, you know. And I think that this is interesting, it's unique, it's different, and it really it gets people's attention. And you know, and then we also, like I said too, you know, both groups have such big fans individually, you know what I mean, and on both sides, and it really brings them all together. It brings both groups together. You know, power's in the numbers. You know, it comes down to, you know, when people want to try to forget about Backstreet Boys or New Kids on the Block. You know, it's like, all right, we're gonna try something new, and you're not gonna forget this. You know what I mean? So it's that's the idea, and it really is a lot of fun being on stage and performing songs and being underneath the stage and watching them perform and them watching us perform. You know, we have these little TVs under the stage, and it's just it really. It's cool seeing ourselves through somebody else's eyes. I think that's sort of kind of like the way I want to say it.
And I have to ask you as well, because I know so many of your fans, you know, just eat up behind the scenes kind of information. And so when it came to, you know, the set list and how you guys were kind of melding things together, how did that work? Was it like all of you guys sitting down together with like managers and stuff trying to figure it out, choreography and all that kind of stuff? Because you do come together at certain points, obviously, to do songs together. And it's just phenomenal. Like it's flawless. And I was just wondering, you know, for all your fans who wonder, how did all that kind of come about?
Picking the songs, it was pretty easy in a way, because you had to, I think, give them the sort the songs that they love the most, obviously. And then, but then you have to also you have to come up with well, you have to also we had an album out together, so it was sort of like a greatest hits album with three new original songs, and so we performed, I think, one of those songs on that as well. So. And then also you had to pick songs that, you know, might not necessarily have been hits, but might be little gems, you know, that you can throw out there and entertain with. You know, it really, the great thing about it is that, you know, you have people like Donnie and you know, all the new kids, and you know, these guys are they're kind of veterans in a sense, and just like us, and we're able to really put our heads together. And you put nine people together in a room, in a brainstorming session, you know, you're going to have some really interesting things happen.
When you guys are on tour together as NKOTBSB, do you guys hang out quite a bit, or do you like travel together? Do you need time apart? Like, is it like a really like a big traveling circus?
No, it is a traveling circus. There's no doubt about it. The they have, I think it's freaking, I don't know, like nine buses for each guy, one bus per guy. So, you
That's
know,
awesome.
that's a lot. And then you also have you know, the crew bus. I mean, it was ginormous tour. I mean, production probably is upwards of a couple $1 million, you know, for Upstart. You know, it's huge. But at the same time, yeah, you do need a little bit of time apart. But I think that everyone's adult enough to really give each other the space, and then we just know how to handle ourselves on tour, which is it's cool. You know, we're not rookies.
That's great. Now, I know that you've, you know, moved away from the Hollywood scene and now you spend a lot of your downtime in Nashville. How important was it for you to leave, I guess, the scene behind, if you want to call it that? And how did you actually end up choosing Nashville?
Well, Nashville is a part-time place for me. You know, I come here to write music and kind of get into the music scene a little bit and stay in the music scene. You know, LA is it's not as music oriented as Nashville. And also too, Nashville sort of it's a little bit homey and more home, down to earth, and you know, kind of a chill vibe. So you know, I think that's the difference. Is and but you know, I spend part of my time out in Nashville. I mean, in Malibu as well. So, and I'll probably be going back out there for around the holidays instead of for Christmas, due to the fact that it gets really freaking cold here. So, and then also, I kind of I got to prepare myself, because in January, roughly January, February, and March, we're going to be in LA, recording another Backstreet Boy record.
I'm glad you said that, because I was just going to ask you what's up next for you guys. And I don't know if you could tell us this, but do you think Kevin's coming back? Because I got a lot of requests to ask that question too.
You never know. But right now we're just taking it day by day, We're hanging out, and everything is he's raising his family and doing acting. So, but right now we're doing our the NKOTBSB tour in Europe next year, around April, May, and March. So that'll go on for a certain amount of time, and right now I don't know what's in the future, but I know that we're doing another Backstreet Boy record for
That's
sure.
excellent. And are you excited to obviously come together as the group again, the four of you, and will you be writing the songs together with a bunch of producers and all that kind of stuff? And I guess you just said like you're hanging out in LA to do a lot of that.
Yeah, there's definitely LA will definitely be the place where we're going to be doing a lot of our writing. And it's going to be really interesting. I think we're trying to challenge ourselves again, and trying to come up with something new and different, and I think that I can't wait. I really can't wait to get in the studio and do another Backstreet Boy album.
And I also have to ask, what's up next for you as a solo artist?
Right now I'm still touring, and I got I think 14-day tour in the States coming up, starting on the 28th of January to the 14th of February. So I'll be finishing that up, and still doing this touring for this album. But I'm thinking about writing another album right now, and I'm thinking about doing it a lot faster than slower. But because I just really don't want to, I'm feeling motivated. I'm just very happy about everything that I've done, and I'm being on stage and performing with my band. I've been able to really kind of see myself as a solo artist in the direction that I would like to go next time around. So it really is. I'm excited. I really think that something's going to be happening very soon with that. So I mean, I could start recording around the same time as Backstreet is what I mean.
Wow, so you're going to be a busy bee. And I have to ask you as well, just I know you just because throughout the interview you've just kept mentioning music, 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 like how important it is to you. What artists that are out there now or even ones that are kind of veterans inspire you?
Oh man, I'm just my iTunes playlist is humongous. It's really difficult to just to say. I mean, obviously I love I'm really digging Ryan Tedder and One Republic. I think they're really amazing. I think that I love U2. I love Lenny Kravitz. There's new artists out there that I think are well, they're not new, but they've been around for a while, but they're really hitting hard now, like Adele, and there's all sorts of those are the type of people I think that really inspire me. And I find myself going back into archives of older music to really to because I think that music nowadays has become so general, and they've it's made for business, not as much as it was for a creative expression in the past. So I think that that's why I find myself going in the past and listening to people like Joni Mitchell, or to talk about Tribe Called Quest, and talk about just older artists like U2 again, people like that,
And I know that a lot of your fans think they probably know you inside and out, but I have to ask you, what is something that, might surprise them? Like, do you have a stamp collection? Do you like going to the zoo?
Yeah, I have a Ouija board collection.
Do you really? That's awesome. I would have never expected that answer. That's great.
Yeah, I have a couple of I'm still trying to collect more. I have a Ouija board from 1890. It's an old 1890 Ouija board, and then I have another one from 1920. And so I framed them, and I have them up. So I'm gonna keep buying. I'm trying to find more. It's hard to find those.
I guess so. That's awesome. And I know before we were talking about how in great shape that you are. We've all seen the pictures, how awesome your abs are, I have to say. But if there's like a junk food, because I know we're coming into the holiday season and stuff, is there a junk food that you kind of really like and just are going to give yourself a break on over the holidays?
Oh man, there's it's so messed up because I'm a cupcake kind of guy.
Oh, good.
I love cupcakes, so any sort of cupcake, mostly vanilla with that, the most unhealthy frosting. I'm a frosting maniac. So, and my mom over Christmas, a lot of times will be, she used to make these Christmas cookies, sugar cookies with homemade frosting. It's just straight sugar and flour or whatever. It was food coloring. It's the most unhealthiest crap in the world, but I love it.
Good for you. Well, before I let you go, Nick, I just wanted to ask you if there's anything that you'd like to tell your fans, as you sort of launch into the next phase of your career and come through these holidays and then, head back to Backstreet Boys and again to do that solo tour that you're doing.
Yeah, I'd love to promote, man. I got this album coming out on August 24th, and yo, it's going crazy. No, I'm just joking. No, honestly, it's funny actually. You ever hear those people that do that?
Yeah.
It's
Didn't Macy Gray do that on like the Grammys when she came out
Yo,
with that
check out
shirt?
my albums coming out,
That was hot.
Anyway, so no, I just want to, I love my fans. They're awesome. We've done so much this year, and they've given so much. So hopefully they love everything that we've done and we've shown them, and I can't wait to just continue it on and keep building it. And there's we enjoy what we do, and we love our fans. They are, hopefully will go down in history as some of the most the different and interesting and unique and amazing fans in the world. And I think that we owe our whole careers to them. And there's I just keep checking out Twitter, and I'll keep talking crap and keep checking out I also got YouTube. If you want to go check out YouTube, I just put I made my own YouTube page. I
Oh, look at
literally
you.
designed it myself in Photoshop, and it's kind of lame right now, but I'm still working on it. But stay up to date, and I swear, we're gonna be back around your way really soon, and thank you for all the support. That's all I could say.
Nick, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I really, really, really appreciate your time.
Great being here.
That's recording artist and member of the Backstreet Boys, Nick Carter. Again, check him out, nickcarter.net, as well as on Twitter, @NickCarter, and go find his YouTube channel.
Hey, what's up? This is Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys, also sometimes a solo artist. And make sure to check out the KellyAlexanderShow.com.
Got me sitting here looking at you. Can't believe this beautiful view that I'm seeing right before my eyes. Trying to think about words to say. Girl, you got me acting that way. It's a feeling I don't wanna fight. Girl, you shine and you sparkle underneath these lights. Gotta have you, gotta make you mine. Chemistry we can't ignore, so what are we waiting for? 'Cause we ain't gonna live forever. Ooh, baby, we can't stop the hands of time. As long as we are here together, no, nothing can go wrong tonight. My love just can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. My love just can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. My love just can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. My love just can't wait, can't wait. All I wanna do is hold you close. Feel your heartbeat through your clothes. Can you tell me, baby, what's your name? 'Cause when you look at me like that, girl, there ain't no turning back. You don't gotta tell me that you feel the same. Girl, you shine and you sparkle underneath these lights. Gotta have you, gotta make you mine. Chemistry we can't ignore, so what are we? 'Cause we ain't gonna live forever. Ooh, baby, we can't stop the hands of time. As long as we are here together, no, nothing can go wrong tonight. Love just can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. My love just can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. My love just can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. My love just can't wait, can't wait. There's no better time and place.
Remix. With You to One remixed by Dave O'Day on The Kelly Alexander Show. Well, I want to give a big and massive thank you to Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys for joining us on our very special edition of The Kelly Alexander Show as we celebrate our 100th program. Again, thank you so much, Nick. I really appreciate your time and for joining us and for being so sweet. I also want to thank his manager, Jason Turner, for hooking it all up. Thank you, Jason. It was great that you were able to work this out for us. I really, really appreciate it. Now, next week on our show, as we march through December, it's our Christmas edition of The Kelly Alexander Show, and I am very excited to let you know that the Food Network's Nadia G of Bitchin' Kitchen is going to join us. She has all the tips you need to make it through the holidays with yummy food for you and your family to eat. So that pretty much does it for this week. I want to leave you with your inspirational quote of the week, this time from Eleanor Roosevelt. The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. There you go. Have an awesome week. Any comments or questions, kelly@kellyalexandershow.com. You and I'll chat soon.
The Kelly Alexander Show is hosted by Kelly Alexander. Produced by Esteban Vargas, Barbara Purcell, Chris Paré, and Kelly Alexander. Original themes and production music composed by Ian Campbell. Thanks for listening.